In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We might wonder why on a day when we're celebrating All Saints and baptism and babies and family, we have funeral readings. Well, the fact of the matter is, it's not so much that we're reading a funeral reading at a baptism or at All Saints. It's that we read baptismal readings and All Saints readings at funerals. In the Episcopal Church, a funeral, not a time for celebration by any means, but a time to be reminded that life is not ended, but changed. And today, we're going to have a change in these children's lives. They're going to become welcomed in as members of God's family. And our readings are wholly in keeping with that idea that the family of God is an eternal thing. And it's not changed so much by death as transformed. We're going to bring these children into new life in God through Christ. And that's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And on those times when we come together and mourn at funerals, we still celebrate transition to new life and the understanding that death is not the final word. So they all tie together. We light Paschal candles. We have an Easter celebration. Because Christianity is all about new birth, about life from death. We are a resurrection people, and we celebrate that resurrection. And resurrection is different from mere resuscitation. Lazarus, we just read about, was raised from the dead, but he was not resurrected. Eventually, although Scripture doesn't give details, eventually Lazarus died again and waits for the resurrection. But Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He experienced the resurrection promised to all the believers of Christ. God did, in the midst of history with Jesus, what God intends for all of us at the end of time, to be raised to new life in Him, a new heaven and a new earth, like we read about in Revelation. See, not everything in Revelation is scary. There's some good stuff in there too. The idea of the new heaven, the new earth, of God wiping away every tear we've ever shed, whether in pain or even joy, that those things become transformed into new life in God. And Revelation, amidst all the other terrible stuff, gives us beautiful images of the throne room of God, of the people of God crying out, "How long until the resurrection?" A lot of times we have the wrong understanding about exactly what death and what happens after it. We tend to think that when you die, you go to heaven and that's the end of the story. But Scripture tells us that in heaven they're awaiting the new heaven and the new earth. At the end of the Nicene Creed, we talk about we believe in the resurrection of the dead. That even spiritual life in heaven is not the end. But it's new life, it's resurrection in Jesus Christ that will have new bodies just as Christ did. Scripture gets very weird after the resurrection, let's be honest. Jesus appears in locked rooms. Jesus isn't necessarily known to be who he is. People don't recognize him at first. There's a difference in Jesus after the resurrection. But there's also a sameness. He offers his hands and his feet and his side to Thomas that he could touch them. The marks are still there. Although they're signs now of joy and salvation and not of execution and defeat. Because God transforms death. When our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, John was doing a baptism washing away sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ had no sins to wash away, and yet he was baptized. He was baptized not to change him, but to transform our understanding of baptism. That yes, the washing away of sins is part of it, but more importantly, it's being brought into new life in Jesus Christ, acknowledged as a member of God's family. That's why we do baptisms here on a Sunday morning with everyone gathered together. Here are your new brothers and sisters. Here is new life in our midst. Jesus talks about that when the seed falls on the ground, it has to die before it can grow into new life. And death is a natural part of our creation. And yet it's not the end. Through Jesus Christ, through our baptism, we know that we are guaranteed eternal life with Christ. And that's what gives us our Christian hope. Not hope like I hope there'll be some banana pudding left by the time I get there. Hope that we do not live lives that are meaningless. We live lives that we're called to serve God and God's kingdom. The new heaven and the new earth comes about not through God snapping his fingers, but through the work of Christ's body, the church. We don't use that imagery lightly. We are the ones who do the work of Christ here on earth. We are the ones called to further the kingdom of God. It starts with baptism, but it certainly doesn't end there. Each one of us, because of our baptism, is a minister in Christ's church. Each one of us has gifts and talents, as meager as they may be in my case, that we can offer, that God can use to grow God's kingdom. That we live in to our baptism, that we live in to our salvation in Christ, that we do the work of building God's kingdom, that we are ambassadors who leave this beautiful place and go out into the world and proclaim the greatness of Christ, the goodness of God, and the salvation that we find. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.